Well, you can be turning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 5. And we began discovering in the service this morning that we all live in glass houses. And those who live in glass houses should not be throwing stones. Amen? And we discovered that indeed that we live in homes and in relationships that are fragile like glass. They're relationships that can be broken. And that is that even in our culture, it's very common for the relationships within the family structure, whether we're talking about the first and primary relationship being the marriage relationship, or whether it be that of siblings or that of parents and their children, but the relationships within the family can indeed be shattered like a piece of glass. As a matter of fact, they at one time may have been relationships that were strong and vibrant, but now they're broken. The truth is that we all live in glass houses, relationships that can be shattered and broken, and therefore we shouldn't be throwing stones. Stones that would shatter our homes and our relationships and our marriages, and stones that would indeed destroy the relationships of the people that we have cared about so much. And this morning we began looking at one of those stones. That is, that one of those stones that we should not be throwing since we live in glass houses. And the stone that I began looking at with you is the one that I've called the stone of unfaithfulness. Now, there's another big stone that destroys homes as well. I said to you that that is the stone of unforgiveness. But the stone of unfaithfulness is the one that we're focusing on. And of course, the idea that we normally think of sexual unfaithfulness. And indeed, that will destroy relationships. And we find that you and I, if we're going to have strong homes and strong families and that begin with strong marriages, then one of the things that must absolutely be outside of what we experience is sexual unfaithfulness. God has never intended for us to have sexual experiences outside of the bonds of marriage. And those who start throwing that stone are going to destroy their relationships, the stone of sexual unfaithfulness. So I said to you in the service this morning, in the pornographic culture that we live in, that means that you've got to protect your heart. You've got to protect your mind. You've got to protect your thought life. And you have to guard yourself so that you don't start down that road towards sexual unfaithfulness. Don't allow that happen in your life. But the stone of unfaithfulness that I'm talking about is not just unfaithfulness in our sexuality. It's also unfaithfulness in our stewardship. And that is that all of us are in a position of stewardship. That is that God has given some things to us that He intends for us to take care of and manage for His glory. When we think of stewardship, we normally think of our finances. When the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, a lot of times we think about our finances, and that is that we need to take good care of our finances. God has blessed us with these resources, and we need to use them for His glory, and that is true, and that is another message someday in the future. But what I'm talking about is not stewardship in our finances, but stewardship in our family. If our finances are important, our family is more important than even that. Amen? Relationships within our family, and God has entrusted those relationships to us. Those of you that have moms and dads or did have moms and dads that have passed on, I'm going to tell you that you were born into a family and you were given a relationship that you need to be a good steward of. And those of you that have been given a spouse, God has given you that spouse, and you're going to be held accountable as a steward of your relationship with your spouse. Those of you that have parents that are here, those of you that are still underage, I'm going to tell you that you have parents that God has given you. You may not always like them, but they're the ones God gave you, and you're going to be held accountable for your stewardship of the relationship that you have with your parents. Parents, we're going to be held accountable for how we deal with our kids. Amen? And that means kids that are growing up, and that means kids that are grown up. And we have a stewardship here. That is, they're the blessings that have come from God. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They've come from Him, and we're to be responsible stewards for them. And if you and I are going to be the kind of stewards that we ought to be in our relationships at home, then one of the requirements, according to 1 Corinthians 4:2, that is one of the big overarching requirements, is that you have to be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you can't be depended upon, you're not going to be a good steward. If you're not dependable, if you're not faithful. Now, we begin to discover what that means, being faithful as a wife. In the service this morning, being faithful wives, and tonight we're going to be looking at being faithful husbands. Listen, wives, let me remind you that you live in a glass house. Don't be throwing rocks. You could destroy your marriage. You could destroy your relationships. Your husband is like a piece of glass. You could break him if you're throwing rocks and destroy your marriage. Don't be throwing rocks. If you've got the rock of unfaithfulness in your pocket, you ought to throw it away. You ought to get rid of it. And you ought to be a faithful wife. A wife who is faithful in her position in the home. We discovered that this morning. I'm talking about a wife who is faithful to the priority of the home. That is, that her home is the priority of her life. A wife who is faithful to her purpose in the home. To be your husband's helper. Be faithful. Be a faithful wife. Now I could preach all over that again and get more specific, but I'll move on. Amen. And I want to talk to you for a little while about being faithful husbands. Being faithful husbands. Gentlemen, as I said to your wives in the service this morning, and those of you that are looking to be married someday, I'm so thankful for our young people that are here. One of them told me a little bit earlier, said, "Pastor, I really enjoyed the message." This is a young one of our youth that is still unmarried. And said, "I really appreciate that because I want to be the kind of wife God wants me to be when I do get married." Amen. And when I do get married, I want to marry the kind of husband that a husband ought to be. And so I'm going to lay that out for you a little bit tonight, what you ought to be looking for in a godly husband, and what all of us who are husbands ought to be striving to be. Let me preface this by saying that I don't believe there's any husband here, especially the one standing, that has achieved what we ought to be. And that we're still growing and learning and trying to become what God wants us to be. But nevertheless, one of the things that ought to characterize us is faithfulness. That is, we ought to be faithful husbands. Gentlemen, let me say to you what I said to your wives in the service this morning, and that is that if you are throwing rocks of unfaithfulness, you're going to destroy your home. Those who live in glass houses shouldn't be throwing rocks, and you shouldn't be throwing the rock of unfaithfulness. You ought to be a faithful husband. A faithful husband. And that means, obviously, that means being faithful in the area of your sexuality. And that is that your heart should be devoted to your wife alone. And there should be no expression of sexuality outside of your relationship to your spouse. But we're talking about even more than that. And that is that the Bible lays out for us what husbands ought to be and the direction that husbands ought to go. And the areas in which we should be absolutely faithful or totally committed to. And I'm going to lay those out to you for just a little while this evening. One of the things that husbands ought to be faithful in, we ought to be faithful to love our wives. Faithful to love our wives. And I would include in that, by the way, those of you who are fathers, faithful to love our wives and our children. And if you have grandchildren, grandchildren. Faithful to love our families. But we're going to deal primarily with the idea of being faithful to love our wives, because that's what Paul writes about here in Ephesians chapter number 5. Notice with me what the Bible says in verse number 25. Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives." And it says we're to do it even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives. One of the areas we need to be committed to and faithful is in the area of loving our wives. Now, we need to love our wives with our lips. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean by that?" I mean by saying that I love you. Amen? And not only doing it with our lips, but also with our lives, by living out a life that demonstrates that we love our wives. The Bible says that we're not to love just in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth in the book of 1 John, and that should apply to our relationships at home as well. Real love involves more than speaking. It involves that, but it also involves living. So how do we do that? How do we demonstrate real love for our wives? Maybe some of you are like the guy that said, "I told her I loved her one time, and when I changed my mind, I will let her know." And that's about it, right? How do I do that? I want to be a faithful husband, faithful to love my wife. How do I do that? Well, we find here that Paul gives us some examples and some ideas about how it is that husbands can be faithful to love their wives. Husbands who love their wives faithfully will love them with a giving love. Look at verse 25 again. The Bible says here in verse number 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Did you see that? And that is, and this is old news to most of you, isn't it? And they said, Pastor, I've heard that before. Well, I've changed my oil before, but I still go back and get it done about every 3,000 or 4,000 miles. Amen. Do you? That's right. Every once in a while, you need a little tune-up, and this is tune-up time for a lot of you guys that are here. And that is, you need to love your wife, and the Bible tells us how to do that in the same way that the Lord Jesus loves the church. In the same way that the Lord loves us, we are to love our wives. And that is a giving love, because the Bible says here that He gave Himself for the church. Amen? And that's the kind of love that we need to love our wives with, and that is a giving love. And we know that Jesus gave His life. He didn't just give a ring to the church, did He? He didn't just give a necklace to the church. And those are appropriate gifts to give to somebody that you love. But He gave even more than a ring or a necklace or a dress or something like that. The Lord Jesus gave Himself for the church. He laid down His life for the church. And that's the kind of giving love now that we're required to love our wives with. I was talking to one of the men of our church a little bit earlier who's not currently in the service. He told me that he didn't want to have to listen to this message tonight, so he was going to go to the nursery and work in the nursery. And that's where he's at. I'm not going to tell you what his name is, but he'll be leaving on Thursday to go to India. Yeah. And you know what he said to me? He said, you know what? He said, Pastor, I think the guys have the hardest job. And you know, he may be right. I mean, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. And it says, husbands, love your wives. And to do it like Christ, love the church. Now that's a pretty tall order. He gave Himself for the church. And the idea is that you and I are to love our wives in the same way. And that is to love our wives in a way that gives ourselves to them. You say, well, I thought my wife was to be my helper and she's supposed to give herself to me. But now we got this thing turned around on us, don't we? And we have to give ourselves for them. Yeah. You see, the Bible is talking about a giving kind of love. It's talking about guys who will lay down their lives for their wives. Say, Pastor, I tell you what, somebody broke into my home. Somebody tried to, harm my wife. I lay down my life for my wife. Well, you know, we might start, gentlemen, by just putting their needs ahead of our own. Amen. Instead of waiting for somebody to break into our home, why don't we break into our home and say, you know what? I love you more than I love myself, so I'm going to put your needs ahead of my own needs. Being more concerned about my wife than I am myself. That'd be a good place to start. A giving kind of love. You say, Pastor, my husband doesn't quite love that way. Well, let me tell you that this is not a love that any of us do naturally, including the wives. It's just unnatural. The kind of love that we're talking about is a love that comes, that is characteristic of God. And it takes God in your life to be able to do this. And that's the reason why that Ephesians chapter number 5, prior to this verse, is in verse number 18, the Bible says, hey guys, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you have this long conversation that describes what the Spirit-filled life is like, including the passage we're looking at, which says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And the idea is a Spirit-filled living will lead women to become submissive and men to love their wives like Christ loved the church. It takes the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts for us to be able to love like this. And that's why it's so important for every man to be walking, have a real, genuine, personal relationship with the Lord and be walking with God. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to love like this. Some of you might be a little bit like me. I'm naturally selfish because I'm naturally fallen. But one day I met the Lord Jesus and He came into my life. And as a result of Him coming into my life and heart when I got saved, now I have the capacity to be able to love selflessly. But I have to walk with God. Amen. That's what it takes. Being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a giving love. It's a love that gives of ourselves. It's not only a giving love, but this love that we're talking about is what I would call a cleansing love. Notice verse 26 now what the Bible says. It says that He might sanctify and cleanse it. That is, Christ gave Himself for the church, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus not only died for the church, but He also is cleansing the church. Now, He cleansed us of our sins when He saved us. and He continues to cleanse us since our conversion. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us and to keep on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. You know what that I found out? That after the Lord saved me, that He began a work in my life, a work of cleaning me up, of cleansing me, and His chief operating instrument is this book right here, of trying to make me into what He wants me to be, so I can become the very best God wants me to be. Amen? It's talking about that sanctifying, cleansing work in our lives. You see, He not only gave His life, but the Lord Jesus is cleansing His bride. He's cleansing His bride. So that we might be presented as a glorious church, not having any spot, not having any wrinkle. He is cleaning us up. And you know what He says? He said, husbands, here's how you need to love your wife. In the same way that Christ loved the church, He not only gave Himself for the church, a giving love, but He's also been operating in the life of the church, cleansing us and sanctifying us. And even so, that's how husbands ought to love their wives. You say, what in the world does that mean? By helping our wives to become the very best they can be, just like the Lord working in our life, cleansing us and sanctifying us, is setting us apart so we can become the very best that we can be for Him in this life. Let me just say it this way. A husband who loves his wife will do everything he can to help her become everything that God has designed and purposed for her to be. That's right. If your wife has been gifted by the Lord in a specific area, you'll want to help her become her very best in that area. To be able to grow. To be set apart and sanctified. Helping her to become a godly woman. Helping her to become a great mother. Helping her to become a good employee if she works. Helping her to become the very best that she can be. Loving your wife, it is a cleansing kind of love. Just like the Lord is cleansing His church so we can become everything that God has saved us to be, a husband is helping his wife to become everything that God has purposed and saved her to be as well. It's a giving love and it's a cleansing love. It's also a nurturing love. Beginning in verse number 28, the Bible says this, so ought men to love their wives, notice now, as their own bodies. You see, the Bible tells us on down in this passage of Scripture, that indeed the church is the body of Christ. Just like the man and the woman indeed are one flesh. The Bible tells us, for example, in verse number 30, it says, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That came straight from Genesis chapter number 2. And is also quoted by the Apostle Paul in other passages. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And the idea is this, and that is that when Adam and Eve came together, as when every couple is married, they become one flesh. They are united together. They become as one as far as God is concerned. And even so, the Bible tells us that when we receive Christ, Christ comes to live on the inside of us. We're in Christ and Christ is in us. We are united to Him. And so the Bible says that when Jesus loves us, He's loving His own body. Jesus is loving His own body. And even so, we know what that means because we love our own bodies. And the Bible says that we ought to love our wives like we love our own bodies. In the same way that we love our physical bodies, men, we ought to love our wives in the same kind of way. You say, Pastor, what in the world does that mean? Well, it's a nurturing kind of love. That is, you and I love our bodies enough that we take care of our bodies. Listen, men, we ought to love our wives as we would love our own bodies. Here's what we do. Two things he says here. First of all, we love our bodies by nourishing our bodies. Notice what it says in verse number 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Just like the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church, we nourish and cherish our bodies, our physical bodies. And the Bible says that we are to love our wives like we love our own bodies. So here's how we love our wife. It is by nourishing them. By nourishing them, just like we nourish our bodies. Say, Pastor, what in the world is it talking about? Well, it just means that we feed our bodies. It means that we wash our bodies. It means that we groom our bodies. You all know what I'm talking about. All of us care for our bodies in this sort of way, gentlemen. Men who love their wives will care for them in the same way. Just like we take care of our bodies, we take care of our wives. You know what? Listen, most of us guys, you know what we do? It's very simple. We get up in the morning, we go into the mirror. I talked about that in a series of messages I just got done preach. We look in the mirror, and we take a careful look, and we think, well, do I need to shave or do I not need to shave? Can I get by today? Or do I need to shave? I look pretty scraggly and I got to meet somebody today. And so maybe you say, I'm going to go ahead and shave today. And so you're carefully shaving your face and you're combing your hair and you're noticing you didn't brush your teeth good last night. And so you're going to brush your teeth before you leave. And maybe you floss them and you get all the stuff out of them and things are going pretty well. And you look at yourself and you say, you know what? I need to put on some clothes. You put on these clothes and all of a sudden you notice, you know, this has got a spot on it. So I better put on a different clothes And you're just taking care of yourself. You're grooming yourself. You're making yourself look nice. And just about that time, all of a sudden it hits. You say, Pastor, what? The hunger pain. It's breakfast time. And so you go into the other room and say, I'm hungry and I'm going to give me something to eat. And so you're going through the cabinets of the refrigerator and you find something to eat for your breakfast. You're taking care of your body. You're paying attention to what your body needs and you're taking care of what your body needs. Do you know the Bible tells us that we're to love our wives in the same kind of way? Well, this is tough, isn't it, guys? And the idea must mean that we are to be paying attention to their needs and meeting those needs to the best of our ability. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Yeah, it's a nurturing kind of love. The Bible says we nourish our bodies, and the Bible also says in verse 29 that we cherish our bodies. We cherish them. The idea of cherishing something is the idea of treating it with value. This is something really valuable. We care for them as though they're important. Now we do that with our bodies, don't we? The Bible says that we cherish our bodies. We take care of our bodies. We value our bodies. And all of us do. That's the reason why we spend all the time we do on our bodies. Think about all the money and all the time you spend just on your body. You build a house so that you can house your body. And you buy a vehicle so you can transport your body. You buy clothes so you can hang them on your body. You buy a toothbrush so you can brush a part of your body. You buy a comb so you can comb a part of your body. I could just go on and on, but you all get the picture. We spend a lot of time, a lot of money, and most of our resources on our bodies. We think our bodies are fairly important. We spend a lot of money on medical care because we want our bodies to survive. It's hard to live in this old world without your body, and so we want our bodies to be able to survive. And that is, we cherish our bodies. And here's what the Bible is saying. In the same way that we cherish our bodies, we are to cherish our wives, treating them as though they are extremely important and valuable to our lives. Gentlemen, our wives need to know that they're valued. And listen to me now. They need to know that they're number one. Women need to be valued. And that sense of value needs to come, first of all, from her husband. Secondly, from her children. So here's what we're learning. And that is that if husbands are going to be faithful, then we need to be faithful to love our wives. And that's a giving love, like Christ gave himself for the church. That's a cleansing love, like he washes and sanctifies the church. And it is a nurturing love. It's loving her like we love our own body, nourishing and cherishing our own bodies. And then it's also a particular love. Look at verses 32 and 33. He said, This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she respect her husband. Notice in verse 33 that Paul repeats what he already said about husbands loving their wives as they would their own selves or their own bodies. But he adds these two little words, in particular, indicating that we are to love and care for our wives in the particular or specific way that they need to be loved and cared for. There are some common characteristics among all women, but there are also specific characteristics about women that make them different from each other. And so just because one husband communicates his love to his wife in a certain way doesn't mean that that's how your wife needs to be loved. Your wife is unique. I thought Larry might get in on this deal. Listen, Larry, there is nobody like her.
Amen.
Yeah. And therefore, our task as husbands is to study her and find out how to demonstrate to her that you love her specifically and in a way that's particularly designed for her. Can I just say this, men? There should be nobody who knows your wife like you do. Her best friend should not know her as well as you. And ladies, if you have a friend that's closer to you than your husband, you got a problem. You got a rock in your pocket.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, your goal ought to be, and mine ought to be, to know our wives particularly and specifically more than anybody else so that we can show the particular and demonstrate particularly for her that we love her. By the way, men, that's something that's always changing. Amen. I'm just being real specific and practical. It's always changing. And that is that there are wives, what our wives need today may change tomorrow. Yeah, that's right. So you got to be on your toes. This has always been a little bit of a struggle for me at times. And that is just about the time that I think that I have my wife figured out, it changes. Yeah. And so I have to constantly be studying her and her particular needs, and sensitive to those, just as we would to our own bodies. You know, our bodies also have changing needs. Have you ever noticed, gentlemen, some of you are like me, and some of you are much more mature than I am. And have you noticed how that the needs that you have physically, the needs of your body, have really changed from what they were when you were 20 years old? Amen? Woo! Yeah. They really have, haven't you? I mean, used to. I mean, you were eating hot dogs for breakfast, but now it's oatmeal, amen? Yeah, that's right, because you went to the doctor and he said, man, your cholesterol is sky high. And so the needs of your body have changed, amen? I mean, used to, you could go into the store and get those tailored clothes, and now you're looking for those with the elastic in them, amen? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, my wife buys me those slacks every once in a while. Those pants have elastic in them. Man, those things are great. Amen? Sure. The needs of our body are changing, and the needs of our wives do as well. Yeah. And so we need to be particularly focusing on what her needs are. And it may be different from the guy you work with at the job or the other guy you hang around with at church. Okay. Be faithful. Be a faithful husband. And that means faithful to love your wife. Second thing I want you to see is this. If you're not going to be faithful husbands, we need to be faithful to lead our wives. Our husbands, listen, our wives not only need to be able to depend on us to love them, but they also need to be able to depend on us to lead them. Let me go back to Ephesians 5 and look at verse number 23. It's the verse I looked at this morning, but I want to see the other side of it. The Bible says there, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, I dealt with that a little bit in the service this morning when I was talking to wives about that they ought to be submissive to their husbands because the husband is indeed the head of the wife. And I said in the service this morning that just like a body needs a head, and just like the church needs Christ, wives need their husbands. Well, let me just think for just a moment with you. If a body needs a head, what does a body need a head for? The answer that I'm fishing for is that a body needs a head to give direction to the body. That's right. It's the head or the brain that directs the functions of the body. You know the reason why your heart beats is because your brain tells it to. You know the reason why that you breathe at night when you're asleep and you're not thinking about breathing? It's because you have a head, a brain that tells your body what to do. Do you know the reason why I can move my hand is because I have a brain that tells my hand to move and I'm able to do that. That is, it's the head that directs the rest of the body. That leads me to another question. If a wife needs her husband like a body needs a head, what does she need him for? Well, she needs him to provide direction and leadership in the marriage and in their home. Men, if you and I are going to be the kind of faithful husbands that we need to be, then we need to be leaders in our homes. We need to be committed to, We need to, listen, our family needs to be able to depend on us to provide leadership in the home, just like the head provides leadership for the rest of the body, and just like Jesus leads the church, that is, you and I ought to be leading our homes. We ought to be the spiritual leaders of our homes. Listen, gentlemen, we ought to be the parental leaders of our homes. You say, well, I let the little lady take care of all that kind of stuff. I let the little lady take care of the religious stuff, and she takes care of the kids. What do you take care of? I take care of that recliner. Yeah, that's kind of the attitude of a lot of guys, and that is that I'll let her take care of the parental needs, and I'll let her take care of the spiritual needs, and I'll just even let her make all the decisions. Might as well. I mean, that's kind of the attitude of a lot of guys. I'll just let her be the one who's sort of in control, to take lead in all the decisions. But the Bible teaches us, I believe the Bible teaches us, gentlemen, that you and I ought to be the leaders in our home. We ought to be leading in the area of spirituality. We ought to be leading in the area of parenting if you have children. We ought to be leading in the area of making decisions in our homes. And listen, even those who are not natural born leaders, and not everybody has the natural born leadership qualities in life. And even those who can't, who don't have that, can learn to lead. And that's what our stewardship requires us to do. If we're going to be good stewards of our homes, then you and I have been put in a position of leadership. You say, Pastor, I really want my wife to get in her position. Well, she can't get in her position a lot of times because gentlemen are not in theirs. When there is a vacuum of leadership, somebody's got to step into that role, or the kids aren't going to get taken care of, and the decisions aren't going to be made, and things aren't going to get done. And so the wife steps into that role because there's a vacuum of leadership. And so as a result of that, if you and I are going to be faithful husbands, we need to step into our God-given role, our position, as leaders in our homes. And ladies, if you've been occupying that position, you need to step back and let him do it. You say, well, Pastor, I would, but he won't do it like I want it to be done. Amen? Well, you got a rock in your pocket then. And you need to get rid of it. Let your husband become a leader. He may not do it like you want. He may not even do it right. But you ought to let him be the leader. So if we're going to be faithful husbands, men, we need to be faithful to love our wives. We need to be faithful to lead our wives. Let me give you a couple other points before we go. We need to be faithful to labor for our wives. This is so simple and so basic, I almost hate to say it. But as I said, we always change the oil in our cars, so let's just do a little tune-up again. Most of you already know this, but I'm afraid that we live in a culture today that's doesn't always get this. And that is that, that as men in our home and faithful husbands in our home, we're expected to provide for our families. Yeah. Did you know that it's not the wife's role that had to provide for the family, but it's the husband's role? Now there are exceptions to this, and all of us know that, and I'm not preaching to the exception, I'm preaching to the basic standard that you find in the Bible. We know that there are men who are disabled. We know that there are men who are laid off. We know that there are other issues and problems that are exceptions to this. But I'll tell you, the basic role, the basic in the Bible, is that men are to provide for their wives and for their children if they have them. Over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 is a really interesting verse, and many of you already know this. It's strong. It's a strong verse, a strong language in this verse. Listen to what it says. And by the way, young ladies, those of you that aren't married, youth girls, if a guy won't work, he's not the right one. Amen? He's just not. Okay, you all know that already, don't you? I just want to remind you. And that because I don't want you to come to me someday and say, Brother Jeff, I want you to meet this guy. I love him. Amen? Isn't he wonderful? And we sit down and y'all thinking about getting married, and we're sitting there across my desk, and I begin to talk to you all, and I find out that he's not working and doesn't intend on working. And his goal and plan is to kind of take care of that recliner while you work. You're not going to like me by the time we get done with that meeting. Okay, so if he don't work, he's not the right guy. God intends for men to be faithful, to labor, to to work. Now, that doesn't mean that ladies can't work. Doesn't mean that there can't be a second income. And if that's the way in the direction that God leads you. But I tell you, there's no excuse for lazy husbands. Amen? Okay. We've got that nailed down. Let's look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. The Bible says, if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, those that live in his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, that is a strong verse. And here's the context for it. Paul is writing about caring for widows in the church. And he's explaining to the New Testament believers. He's saying, listen, if there's a widow in your church, that is a widow indeed. She's above a certain age. And she doesn't have any family to take care of her. She doesn't have any kids. She doesn't have any nieces or nephews. Or she doesn't have any cousins. Nobody in the family that can take care of her. And by the way, there wasn't any Social Security, nothing like that, for them to have an income. And she can't. She's beyond the ability to be able to work. If there's nobody that can take care of her and absolutely no family, then you, church, step in and help take care of those widows in your church that don't have anybody else to help them. But if they have family, then that's family's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility to take the place of what families ought to be doing. That's their responsibility. And that's when he says in verse number 8, if a man won't provide for his own family, especially those in his own house, those who live under his own roof, why, he's worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. He has denied the faith. Now, that's strong language. In other words, here's what it's saying. A man who won't work and provide for the needs of his family is living in a manner that is completely inconsistent with Christianity. And to take another step further, he's worse than an infidel. Say, what does that mean? It means he's acting worse than lost people. Listen, I know lost men who have enough integrity to get out and get a job, make some money, and try to take care of their family. Amen. Now I'm talking about taking care of their wives and their children and taking care of their extended family and helping out their parents when they get to the point they can't take care of themselves and those kinds of things. Get a job, make some money so that you can provide for the needs of those in your own house and be able to help take care of that widow in your life that needs to be taken care of. Everybody's still with me, aren't you? Gentlemen, your wives need you to provide for them. It means you need to work. If you're not retired, if you're not disabled, you need to work. It means you need to make a budget. Now, this is real practical, isn't it? It means guys need to sit down and make some financial plans. Men, our society has been lying to us, and it's been trying to convince us that women need to be financially independent of their husbands. But listen to me now. As a result of those lies, women in our society are now wearing themselves to a frazzle, while their husbands are kicked back in the lazy boy. You say, Pastor, I don't want to be dependent on my husband. Then you got a rock in your pocket. Some of you guys are here and say, well, I'm not going to worry about her. I'll just take care of myself. You got a rock in your pocket. If you keep throwing those kind of rocks, you're going to shatter your home. Be faithful. Be faithful to love your wife. Be faithful to lead your wife. Be faithful to labor for your wife to take care of her. Let me give you the final one. Be faithful to learn your wife. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7 is a verse that has always been a challenge for me. I love 1 Peter chapter number 3, and the reason why is because you have six verses where Peter gives instructions to the wives, and he gives one to the guys. I always like that. Amen. Besides that, this is this passage where he says, you know what Sarah did? She obeyed Abraham, talking about wives respecting your husbands, and says Sarah obeyed Abraham. She even called him Lord. Amen. I love using that one, don't you? Yeah. That's a lot of fun, that verse is. But then you get to verse number 7, and everything changes. It's just one verse, but it's a difficult one. It's a mountain to climb. Are you ready? Here's what it says. Likewise, you husbands. And I don't like that word likewise very well. And the reason why is because it sort of insinuates that everything that he said about wives likewise applies to the husbands. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, that is your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So after writing to wives in the first six verses, Peter writes to the husbands, and he gives them some direction about how to become the kind of husbands that we need to be. Peter's instruction is to dwell with them, with your wives, according to knowledge. And here's what that means, that as husbands live out their lives with their wives and relate to their wives through life, they need to get to know their wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge. In other words, get to know them. Get to know them. Gentlemen, one of our biggest obstacles that stands in our way of becoming faithful husbands is our lack of knowledge. We just have a lack of knowledge. In other words, we don't know our wives like we need to know them, and we don't know how to be the kind of husbands that they really need us to be. And therefore, we need to learn. Now, oftentimes we use this as an excuse, and I've preached out this passage before, and some of you guys have never gotten over it. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I've said before when I preached out this passage, our problem with us guys is we're just really kind of not too smart, to be honest with you. A lack of knowledge implies there's some things we don't know. We're not as smart as what we think we are. As a matter of fact, we border on the edge of stupidity at times. And we often use that as an excuse, and I hate to tip off the wives, but a lot of times when us guys are just being what we shouldn't be, we just say, well, I'm just stupid. Amen? And that's exactly right. You know, we do some stupid things and say some stupid things. And when we do that, I want you wives to know, when we do that, it's not because that we're trying to be insensitive. It's not because that we don't love you or anything like that. The reason why that we do those things is because we really do have a lack of knowledge. We really aren't that smart. Boy, I hate doing this. And there are some things that we need to learn. There are some things we need to learn. Did you know that relating to women doesn't come naturally to men? It's tough for us. Yeah. I should have rubbed my boots. Yeah, it's hard. It just doesn't come all that natural to us. So ladies, don't get frustrated about this. This is the way it's always been. Men have to learn how to relate to their wives. Amen. Have to learn to it. Well, men, Peter gives us some instructions here about how to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. If you want to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, if you know anything at all about your wife, then you ought to know that you need to give honor to her. All right? You say, Pastor, I want to become smart. I want to wise up and become smarter about my wife. Then one of the things that you ought to do is you ought to give honor to your wife. The word honor here carries the same kind of meaning as the word cherish does back in Ephesians 5. And that is that we are to value or honor our wives. We're to cherish them. Somebody or someone that is honorable is that person that is considered valuable and important. So if we know anything at all about our wives, listen, if you're not a complete idiot way out there like you don't have any brains at all, then you ought to just at least know this. This is a basic thing that you ought to know, and that is that you ought to value and cherish your wife. Amen? Honoring our wives begins with the way that we think about them. Yeah. Our view of our wives ought to be that they're the most valuable, important person in my life. And then honoring our wives begins with our attitude or how we think about them, but it's displayed in our actions towards them. Our actions need to be communicating the message to our wives that you are valuable to me. And we have to learn how to do that. This is where the learning comes in. We have to learn how to communicate that message. Peter tells us here that we need to honor our wives in the same way that you would a weaker vessel. We honor her as the weaker vessel in the same way you would a weaker vessel. Now, the weaker vessel doesn't just imply physical strength, even though all of us recognize that generally speaking, there's a difference between the physical strength of a man and a woman. But a weaker vessel is a more fragile vessel. It's the vessel that is more fragile. And you ought to give honor to the more fragile vessel. We do this all the time, don't we, in our life? For example, we do this when it comes to our clothing. There is common clothing, and then there is special clothing. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Right now, some of you might have on your special clothes. That is, those clothes that you give more honor to. And so, or maybe you go to a funeral home or a wedding. That's where you wear those special clothes. Some of you ladies even have at your house, some of you have, not all of you, but some of you have, hanging in your closet or folded up in a cedar chest somewhere, you have that dress that you only wore one time. Amen? Yeah, you spend hundreds of dollars on it in some cases, and you wore it one time, and you carefully put it away. And it's stored away and you haven't worn it since. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your wedding dress. That's a special dress. It's a fragile dress. But then you have that more common clothing, and that's those sweat clothes that you wear around the house. Amen? And so now those sweat clothes that you wear around the house, you just throw them off in a corner somewhere. They're not folded neatly and put away somewhere. No, they're thrown over maybe you throw them in a clothes basket. You throw them in the washing machine and you pour the common detergent in the washing machine and you just wash it right there. Not that wedding dress. No, no, no. If it needs to be cleaned, it's taken to the cleaners and they take special precaution to be able to clean that wedding dress. But those common clothes, we just throw them around and don't really worry about that much taking care of them like we do those valuable clothes. Well, here's what the Bible is saying when it says that we ought to give honor unto our wives unto the weaker, more fragile vessel. In other words, here's what it's saying, guys, that we shouldn't be treating our wives like sweat clothes, but like a wedding dress. Like a wedding dress, with honor and respect, as though she's somebody really valuable to us, somebody that is worthy to be cared for and protected and valued. And here's why our wives are so valuable to us. You say, Pastor, I don't know. Man, that's pretty tough. Listen to me now. Here's why, and I'm just about done. The reason why our wives are so valuable for us is because the Bible tells us here in 1 Peter 3:7, that we are heirs together of the grace of life. You say, Pastor, what does that mean, men? Our wives are the only one person, the one that God has given to us as a partner in life to journey through life with us. Amen. Only one person. Now listen to me. It's not your kids. Your kid's going to leave someday if everything goes like it's supposed to. Amen? They're going to grow up. I mean, these little kids, these little rascals that you almost sacrificed yourself for, these little rascals are going to grow up and one day say, Mom and Dad, bye, bye. Now, they're going to leave. So your kids are going to leave. Someday, your co-workers aren't going to care anything about you. You know the buddies at work that... You know, yeah, one of these days they're going to say, who? They're not even going to remember you. You're going to meet one of your buddies at work that you worked with one day, and you're going to say, hey, you remember old so-and-so? I saw in the paper that he died. And that buddy's going to say, I don't remember him. Yeah, your friends at work are going to forget about you. Your children are going to grow up and leave home. Your friends are going to come and go. But there's one person who has committed herself to you for the rest of life till death do us part, and that's your wife. And that's why she is the most important person in your life. And if you have any knowledge at all, you ought to treat her accordingly. Get to know her. Be faithful to love her. To provide leadership for her. To labor. And to learn her. Be faithful. Committed to that. Because if you don't, then you got rocks in your pocket. And if you start throwing the rock of unfaithfulness, not being faithful to love her, not being faithful to lead her, not being faithful to labor for her, not being faithful to learn her, if you throw those rocks, you'll shatter her. And listen, people who live in glass houses shouldn't be throwing rocks. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us. And Lord, we that are here or that are husbands, God, we recognize, Father, we are not where we need to be. We need to grow so much. And so I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray for those who are here, God, that, Father, are lost, that have never received Christ, that they would take that very first step, Father, by turning from their sinful condition and turning to Christ and receiving him as Lord. But, Father, for those of us who have received Christ, we know that we have in Christ what we need to be able to be the kind of godly husbands that you purposed us to be, faithful husbands. And so I pray that, God, you would work in those areas of our life, the areas we need to grow in, the areas we need to repent of. And I pray that you work in those areas of my life and the lives of these men. Father, I pray for our young ladies that are here, Father. Father, someday they'll be, entering into a relationship with a young man. I pray that you'll give them great wisdom. And Father, they'll make godly choices and choose godly men. And I pray, Father, for the young men that are here and young men that attend our church, God, that you'll raise them up to be the godly men that you intend for, that you intended for them to be. Father, I pray, God, that you work in the wives, in the lives of wives that are here, that, Father, have a rock in their heart, God, and, Father, that, Lord, have not been faithful as well. And I pray that, God, you'd correct us. I pray, God, you'd reconcile relationships. I pray that you'd strengthen homes. And I pray, God, that you would take, Lord, even the older members of our church and that would take these truths and teach them to other people. That would teach them to younger people and sons and daughters and their families and also other people that they know, that they would use these words of wisdom from the Word of God to help others. And Father, that we, Lord, might be, Lord, and just a church, God, that you can use to strengthen homes. Lord, thank you for the truths you've revealed to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all